I told Pastor Tony when he asked me to preach this evening, I said, I've got a couple of sermons all packed away and just ready to go. And, you know, God set me down and said, no, we're not doing that. I've got something else for you tonight. And it's one of these passages that really can give us some squirmishness. It's going to be an interesting one, because even preparing it, it just showed me what it really means when Jesus said, follow me. Because in the previous few chapters in the book of Mark, he was choosing his disciples, walking along the beach. You know, he sees Peter and James, and what does he say? Come, follow me. And that meant more than just, okay, we're just going to walk down the beach a little bit and I'll just go back to work. What he was saying is, come, be with me, and we're going to be going other places. You're going to be giving up your job. You're going to be giving up your homes. You're going to be giving up everything, which is very interesting, because when I think about that, I would think I would be Peter sitting on there and doing my net and go, okay, I'm going to go here and preach a sermon and I'll just come back and I'll be fishing. That's not what Jesus meant. Jesus meant, I've been sent by God. And I'm asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to be my disciple. Learn about me. And we're going to share to the world a wonderful message. That meant a little bit of sacrifice. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. But, you know, he changed so many people's, just his disciples' lives, just in those first few chapters. I mean, Matthew's another one. Matthew's, you know, tax collecting. He's gathering money, and he's lining his pockets with some of the money and taking care of the taxes. And he's not liked by the Jews. He's not liked by the Romans. But he's collecting taxes, and he does those things. And what is Jesus telling him? He says, follow me. That's an interesting one there, too, because Matthew wasn't necessarily, you know, one of those people you'd go, hey, I want that guy on my team. You know, when you're picking teams on, you know, in school, and you're going, well, you be on my team, you can be on that team. You know, these are the guys that Jesus was picking. He didn't go to the Pharisees and say, who is your best student? That's the one I want to follow me. He didn't go to the Jewish college and say, I need Gamaliel's best student. You know, he didn't go walk into the synagogue and say, you know, who's the one here who's the most learned? Who knows the most? He grabbed the people with the best heart, because he's God and he knows that. And each of us here tonight has been chosen by God to be his. He chose you. And more than just choosing you for a purpose, for a reason, he loves you. And his love goes very deep. His love carried him to the cross and to be nailed on it, because he loved us that much, so that we could stay in fellowship with him. Because all he has to offer is his life. Because we can't come to a holy God when we're sinful. We need his love. We need his forgiveness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He did that for us. And he's giving us a home to be with him. He's giving us a place to go after this world. But just because his Son died upon the cross doesn't mean it's all done and we can go out and do our own thing. A companion passage that you can read, I didn't write this down, I don't have an outline, would be Romans chapter 7. Is it okay for me just to do whatever I feel like? No, it's not. He calls us to follow him and be like him. Are you willing to give up everything for the love of another person? John 15, he says, some people might for a good person, but Jesus did that for us when we weren't a good person. So when he says, follow me, it's very strong. when he says, follow me. Because his disciples gave up their jobs. Some of them gave up their families to follow him. They gave up all that they knew. They gave up their money in the bank. Matthew gave back the money he stole from everybody. There's so many different things that come along with when Jesus says, follow me. But in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus summoned the crowd and some of the disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is about, you know, 7 chapters before he goes to the cross. He's letting his disciples and everybody know. He talks about the cross. And they know what the cross is. They see that Roman cross on the outside of town. They see people crucified upon that cross. They know that there is judgment. They know that there's punishment for sin. They know these things. And when Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, it's not going to be that easy. It isn't just skipping along roses and picking flowers all day. You take up your cross and you follow me. Can you walk in my steps? When Jesus was with his disciples, just before he was to be crucified, you know, are you able to take the cup of which I'm gonna suffer? And some of them said yes. He says, you're not right now, but you will be. And you are going to take of that cup. Just as I'm going to be sacrificed, you will be also. And there's a lot of things that go along with that as well. But just that first passage right there, if anyone wishes to come after me, if anyone wishes to be my disciple, if anyone wishes to be like me, deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? There's pleasures in this world we really like. Some of them are sinful. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just things that we enjoy. But God says we need to deny those things. Take them up. Just give it all up to God and see what he's going to give us back, because he loves us. He's not going to, it's not just all drudgery that God's going to give us. But he's going to give us what's right, what's true, what's holy. And that is his love and his kindness. If you know how much love he gave so that we could have that life, that's all he's asking us to give to one another. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So anything that stops you from following Jesus is probably what you should give up. If you can keep doing it and follow Jesus, then maybe it's okay. But is it okay to sit at the bar and you know, flirt around with people that aren't your husband or your wife? No. That's sin, and that wouldn't be what he wants. Deny those fleshly desires. Take up your cross and come after him. It can be as simple for me as I really like the Broncos. And I really want them to do good. And boy, I can cheer on the Broncos. I've seen John Elway. I've seen Peyton Manning. I've seen Super Bowl wins. But it's not more important than Jesus. I was here on AFC Championship night. I came to church. I didn't record the game. I came here because God's people were here. That's more important than a football game. I couldn't have said that 20 years ago. Honestly, because what it meant to me to take up my cross and follow him didn't mean giving up my Broncos if they have a playoff game. That meant I could miss church. But Jesus started to tell me, there's something more important than a game. People's souls are more important. Loving on our family is more important than a game. It's much more. And those things that we think are so important might not be. And the hurtful or nice words that we can say to those that we love, those can be the things that we need to be doing. You know, it's as easy as a parent when being a little frustrated with your kids. And instead of saying, you know, I don't know what's making you upset. Can you talk to me about it? Instead, it's like, why are you doing what you're doing? Stop it. You know, there's a whole difference in how we relate, you know, with love. Do we do it, you know, out of irritation of our hearts, or do we do it out of our love and understanding of wanting to communicate and wanting to know the best? Because sometimes saying no is the best thing. But we need to be saying that in love, not in harshness. Because we can say the right thing in the wrong way. So it's very important that we understand our words too. Take up your cross and follow me. That means there needs to be some sacrifice. So for me, it was sacrifice for a few times to miss a Bronco game or two. And financially it could get that way because I had season tickets. So I'd already paid money for those things. So it's not just, but it's who comes first. What is most important in your life? That's the things we have to really think about. If I'm going to go any further in this passage too, but it's one of those things that you really have to understand what's the most important in your life. Because that's what he's getting to. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Put me first. Follow me where I'm going. Did he say, worry about what jacket you're going to bring? Worry about you know, what you're going to eat for dinner tomorrow night? These are things that the disciples had to deal with for a while. Because that's a lot of things to try and understand. Because we don't understand that as much. Because, we think, well, I have to make sure I have gas for my car. I need to make sure that I have a house, you know, to stay in. I need clothing. I need shoes. I need these things. But, you know, when Jesus comes down to it, what is most necessary? What is the most important thing? That's me. Who takes care of the rest of those things? God does. And if we offer up those things to God, then we thank him for those things that he does give us. If we have transportation to be here tonight, can you thank God for it? Can you thank God you got a flat tire? Terry might have that one. You know, thanking God for a flat tire. Well, you had a tire that could get flat. God blessed you. Right? You're blessed. God is good. God meets our needs. Those are the things we worry about. Those are the things that we get stuck with sometimes. But this passage is a little more simple than it states, but it's hard. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Because when you look at our lives, there's so many things that we need to deny ourselves so we can put Jesus first. One of those things for me also was Bible study. When I was younger, I tried to always have my Bible study at night before I went to bed. Because I just thought that was easier. Because I didn't want to wake up early in the morning. I really didn't want to wake up early. I like to sleep in. I was one of those teenagers that could sleep in till 10, 11, 12, 1, you know. So I wanted to have those Bible studies at night, but I found myself, you know, opening the Bible, reading two or three verses, and then waking up in the morning with the Bible on top of my face. That's not much of a Bible study. So I needed to try something a little different in following Jesus. I had to deny myself a little bit. Okay, I have to be to ready to get on the bus for school at 7:15. Okay, I used to get up at 10 minutes till 7 and just, okay, I'll get ready and I'll go. So now I had to get up at 6:30 because I wanted to at least take 5 minutes to read and 5 minutes to pray. Okay? I started doing that. And God started saying, hey, guess what? You're learning more about me. Isn't this exciting? And yeah, it is. And it just grows and grows as you discipline yourself. You start denying yourself certain things. You start getting blessed in other ways that you didn't even imagine could happen. Just 3 months down the road, I was teaching a Bible study at a denominational church who'd never had a Bible study group for young adults. I had the meeting at my house, so I had 14 people coming to my house to try and read the Bible. And it was one of the most amazing things I had in my life, because there's people who actually wanted to learn about who God was. Because before that, all we knew about God was somebody who read one passage and then just told us a story about a softball game, and then we would go home. And I didn't learn that much about the Word of God. But as soon as I started digging into the Word of God, and we went verse by verse through the book of Colossians, which the men are going through. So if you want to get into a good Bible study, when we start back, you know, at the end of the summer, come and join us. It's a great Bible study. Just like we read before service tonight in Colossians 3:16, one of my favorite passages about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love to fill my mind with those things, because music was an important part of my life when I was younger. I had to deny myself some of the secular music, and I started filling it with Christian music, putting God first, and that changed me also. So it's one of those things. You deny yourself, and then you take up your cross, and you follow who? Not me. Follow Jesus. He's the one who gives life. He's the one who saves. He's the one who's going to help you today and tomorrow. And he has a future for us. And he has a future for you. Verse 35. It talks about those things. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? There are so many people, and I've been there, who try to save money for retirement, save money to buy a bigger house, save money to buy a nicer car. There's lots of good things that you can do those things for, and lots of those things can be godly, or you can make them your God. If you're trying to save your own life by preparing for the future, if you're trying to save your own life by just doing the things that you think are going to be good, best for you, they might not be. Offer it to God. Sometimes he wants to bless you with those things. Sometimes he needs you to simplify your life and get away from some of those things. Some people are going to be blessed because they're going to give it up and they're going to offer it. They're going to be having other people staying at their house. They're going to be doing those types of things. They're going to be offering their home up. They're going to be offering to drive people places. There's other people who might, you know, if I just work down the street, maybe you don't need the car. You know, some of the times we don't understand what we do need and what we don't need. We need to offer the things to God and say, what do we need? So we don't need to try and save our own life. Because there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus. So if you're trying to save yourself, you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose it. And when you stand before God in heaven, he's going to say, don't know you. See ya. I don't want that one. I want it when he says, come here. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. You're the one I've been waiting for. That's what I want to hear. Because our God is that type of a God who loves us that much. He knows you by name. But if you lose your life, if you lose your house, it could be a sad thing. But when you're trying and struggling and striving, maybe those things are better off if you lose them, if you're struggling and striving so hard. So if you lose those things for the gospel's sake, you're saving it. The Lord will honor it. The Lord is going to bless it. Sometimes he blesses now. Sometimes it'll be in the future. Because God is a good God who knows what's best for us. And sometimes we see with blinders on, this is what I want. And Jesus goes, this is what you need over here and over here. All you're looking for is straight this way. We need to open up to see what God really has for us. For there is heaven, but there is God right now on earth wanting to give you peace and wanting to give you joy. You're fighting and you're struggling for so many different things. I've got to get good grades. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Just trying to save yourself. What you need to do is give it to the Lord. I want to honor you with what I'm doing. I want to praise you with what I'm doing. And if I can't, it's okay if you take that away from me, God. Can we do those things? Are we afraid to say those things to God? Because there's some things he wants to take away from our lives. There's other things he wants to bless us with. Because he is a God of blessings. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I've known people who are rich beyond compare, who are the unhappiest people I know. They have all the money they want. They have all the cars. They have all the fame. And they're not happy. Why do you think they're drug addicted? Why do you think, you know, they're on their fourth marriage? Why do you think there's these other issues that are going on? Because it doesn't satisfy. They're looking for something else. Let's don't be looking for something else. Let's start off by looking for Jesus. What does he want us to do? Where does he want us to go? He has a plan. He has a purpose. For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give God? What can we give God that he doesn't have? I mean, you can look outside and see what he's made. Can you make that? Can you make the mountains over there? Can you make the sun rise and the sun set? Can you make the earth spin? Can you make all the stars in heaven? What can you give God in exchange for your soul? There's not a thing I can give him. That's not why he loves us. But that's what Jesus is saying, is there's nothing you can give God that he needs. But the one thing that makes a difference is offer yourself to him. He loved you. He wants to forgive you. All he needs you to do is say, fill my heart. Come inside. Be my God. Be my friend. Be my Savior. That's what he wants. Because there's nothing we can give. But once we give everything that we have, which is us, from there, the rest of it is glory and satisfaction to him. And that's what he wants. He wants us to be able to give him glory, give him praise, and give him honor. Because there's nothing we can do on our own. But when we do that, when we deny ourselves, when we follow him, when we give him glory, when we give him praise, when we tell others, why are you different? Why do you love people? It's because Jesus loves me. It's because Jesus cares. The next verse is pretty condemning also. It says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory of his Father and the holy angels. I can say there's times when I've been ashamed of Jesus. There's been times when I've been afraid to say I love God. Because you get into those situations, at work or family and friends. They're talking about other things, and you have that chance to say something about Jesus, and you keep your mouth shut. They'll be talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about. They'll be saying off-color jokes. But, you know, whoever's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, that's what he calls it, an adulterous and sinful generation. He calls it adultery and sinful when we don't put him first, when we allow other things to be the love of our life, something that's more important, whether it be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whether it be a car, whether it be a home, whether it be I need $500,000 in my retirement account so that I can live comfortably when I retire. I need $1 million because, you know, I need $20,000 mortgage every month. I need this. I need food. I need housing. I need all. Whoever's ashamed of me, let's don't be ashamed of God when we have those opportunities to share, when people are talking about things. Let's be a light to the world. Every instance isn't a chance to say repent and be saved. But you do have a chance to say, well, what did you do this weekend? I got to go to church. I enjoy church. I get to learn about my God and my Savior, Jesus. You don't have to say much more. But if you tell them how much you really love God, they might want to ask about more. Well, why would that make you happy, wasting an hour of the week? Does that make you right so you can do whatever you want the rest of the week? That's not what it's saying. But whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Because he's going to come in the glory of his Father, and his Father is holy. His Father is our Father. He is holy and righteous. There is no sin in him. He is perfect. When Moses didn't even see God, he just saw the back of his robe, he turned white because of God's holiness. He shone like a light because of seeing part of God's glory. God is that great. And if he's that great, he's the one we need to love. He's the one we need to share. He's the one we need to give our lives to and be different. We need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross and follow him. That way when Jesus comes back, we don't have to worry about him being ashamed of us. We know that he'll love us. And we know that he's going to say, welcome, come home, come see me. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to be. I want to be able to love my God that way. I might first fall on my face because I am a sinful man and I know I'm not worthy. But at the same point, he does love me that much. I'll let him pick me up. I don't think I'll be so bold as just to come running up to a holy God and just put my arms around him. I think first I need to say, forgive me, Lord. But he is a loving God who does care for us. But this is an adulterous and sinful generation. And I think it's interesting he chooses the word adulterous because we've come into a covenant with him. When we become Christians, we say, I'm going to follow you. We make a commitment that we're going to love him. We make a commitment. There's love going both ways, just like in a marriage. When you turn yourself to the world, you're committing adultery with your relationship with God. He's saying things that are very harsh to these people, to the disciples and the crowd. He's being very harsh. It is. Because he's calling it an adulterous and sinful generation. And do they know that? Yes. Do we know that we live in an adulterous and sinful generation? Turn on your TV. Just long enough to turn it back off again because I want to follow after him. I don't want to fill my mind with that stuff anymore. Those are things we need to really consider. Is if Jesus is sitting with me, should I be watching this? Should I pay my $14 to go down to the movie theater to watch it? If Jesus isn't sitting next to me and approving, maybe we shouldn't. There's a lot of things that we need to put on as if we become believers in him. He just asks us to take up our cross and follow him and to deny ourselves. He just says, follow me. Very simple words. And in a sense, a very simple thing to do. Just get up, follow me, follow right after him. But how hard is it to let those things go? How hard is it to put him first? How hard is it to say something when everybody else is talking about different things besides the Lord? That's when we need to offer up a quick prayer. Lord, let me speak what you want. And it isn't always to say, hey, you're sinful and you're going to hell. Sometimes it's just saying, I loved my God and I got to spend time with him. And let the Lord work his work. And he will allow you to have chances of opportunity to witness and to share his love and to follow after him with your words as well as your deeds. Because what did the disciples get to do? The whole book of Acts tells you what the disciples got to do when they followed after him. They did miracles. They healed people. They prayed for people. Now, Peter went into the temple. I don't have any extra money on me, but I know Jesus, and I can rise up and walk. That's the things that the disciples got to do. They also got to die upon a cross. Peter said, don't let me die on the cross the way Jesus did. Turn me upside down. Because that's how much he was in love with Jesus. The disciples had their opportunity to follow him. And they followed him. They took up their cross, some of them literally, to follow him. I'm looking forward to the day to be able to see Jesus coming in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. But at the same time, that's a scary thing because he is holy and he is righteous and he is true. Will you ever regret denying yourself and following Jesus? There's some things I regret, but those aren't those. To me, it's the times when I could have shared more of Jesus' love with my children. When I showed them that I loved the Broncos maybe a little bit more than I loved Jesus, I could have been a better witness. When I allowed my temper to get a hold of me a little more than I should, when I raised my voice. There are certain times when raising your voice might be necessary. I remember a time when my daughter Courtney was standing in the front yard and we were playing, and there's a street right there. She just walks out in the street and almost gets run over by a car. I did yell, "Stop!" and I ran out and grabbed her. So did I yell? Yes. And did I tell her, "Don't walk into the street?" Yes. And was there possibly some discipline? There might have been, because I don't want her to get run over and get killed. But in the same light, I could have shown a little more love and respect, but I was a training moment. And one thing that she taught, that I taught her from that, was to look both ways. And the way she understood it was to look both ways. So every time she came to get to the street, look both ways. And she would wave both directions. She would look both ways, and then she would go. You know, it's one of those things that I can remember. It just makes me laugh to this day. That she was able to take the discipline, but able to take it in a kind and loving way. Because that's what I meant. Because I wanted her not to get run over by another car. So did I have to raise my voice? Yes, there's times that we have to do things like that. We have to deny ourselves and follow after him. God's love for us through salvation is so great. I don't ever want to disappoint God. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. But when I think about my own sin, I wonder sometimes, you know, is he going to say, George, come on, I'll lift you up? Or is he going to say, I can't believe you did that? What I want is, I just want him to be able to say, I love you. Because his love has covered my sin. But in response, he says, deny yourself and follow me. That's what I want you to do. The simple act of denying yourself and following him. Take up your cross. A cross is sacrificial. A cross isn't something that's easy to bear. But it's a cross that Jesus willingly suffered so that we could live. And sometimes we can suffer a little bit when it's uncomfortable by sharing the name of Jesus. You know, I heard a story the other day when somebody was at a coffee shop the other day and they were had a waitress. Okay, can we pray for you? And the waitress says, I would love you to pray for me. I have been having a hard day, but you're the third person that's asked me today. So I suppose there must be something going on here where I really must need this prayer, because I know I'm having a hard day and I know I need help, but boy, God sends more than one at a time, doesn't he? And it was just great at that moment to see that there was more than even one person who was answering the call of God to share, because they saw that somebody was having a rough day. They saw that somebody was having a hard time. Said, hey, I can share. I can help. I can do something. I can pray. And sometimes people think praying isn't that powerful. Praying is just words. What I need is, I need money so I can go buy my food. I've heard that before. We need to understand that we need to be willing to help, whatever it is. We need to be willing to be a witness, whatever God asks us to do. We need to be able to share wherever he wants us to share. Give wherever he wants us to give. Because when Jesus asks you to follow him, it can come in many different ways. I want you to support a kid from Compassion. I want you to make 5 boxes for a Christmas child. There's endless ways. We have 2 missionaries. One of them just gave Mike Parks with Frontier Ministries. It's just given, they just got released. They had a container full of wheelchairs and walkers and canes that they were able to give to people who've been injured in the Middle East, in Lebanon. It's been in port for about 3 months, just sitting there. They finally got released, and they're finally able to give it. And they're able to give it to these people who need it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, they get to give it. Some of those people will be Christians that get it. Some of those won't be. Some of those people will be Muslims. Some of those people will be atheists. But when we tell them, we're giving it to you in the name of Jesus, there's power there. There's power in the name of Jesus. Just as it is for our salvation, just as it is for everything else, pray for them. Give to the ministries if you want. There's newsletters out there. Follow them. see what's going on. The war in Ukraine is not over. If anything, it's still getting worse. There's lots of orphans. There's lots of families that aren't going to have their husbands come home. There's lots of people who need their love. They need Jesus. And if we can support them in some way and give them comfort in knowing that we love them, we want to see them comforted by the love of God. We want to see them have the food they need on their table. Those are the things that we can offer up. Those are the things that we can do. But you can only do those things when you offer yourself up to God and say, use me. Here's my checkbook, use me. Here's my car, use me. Here's my life. Let me be uncomfortable. That's an important thing to be able to say. Some of those times it can be good. Some of those times it can be a struggle. Some of those times you'll get an A on a paper in your college class. And sometime you might get an F. Because that teacher might not like Christians. But you stand up for the Word of God. You stand up and you make a presentation. You stand up as He asks you to. And it's not just a one-day commitment. It's a lifetime of taking up your cross and denying yourself. Because we get very comfortable. God has blessed me. I thank God. I'm blessed. And we don't allow ourselves to go that extra part to say, deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me. We're afraid of those words because those mean we have to do something. Sometimes we want to just sit down, sit in our chair, put our feet up, watch a TV, and let our mind go numb. And God says, that's not what life is about. Life is about relationships. Life is about loving and caring for one another. Life is important enough to be able to say, you know, I know you say you're a Christian, but I'm having a hard time. You're living in sin. And if God uses us to share that with somebody, we really need to do that in love and compassion because you want to see them restored in relationship. That's much better than just pretending it's not happening, like the church in 1 Corinthians. Church in 1 Corinthians allowed a man to sleep with his stepmom. And they said, whatever, that's fine. In an adulterous situation. Well, look how open-minded we are. We let everybody into our church service. And Paul said, forget that. Our God is a good God. He doesn't like sin. You need to either stop what you're doing or you're going to have to leave. He goes, church discipline is important, is what they said. And that's, you know, some of those things are important to say to one another. But it's not to say, I'm better than you. It's to say, my God is greater than me and you. My God is the one who is important. My God needs to come first in all things. Our God is a great and good God. How is this going to change us? Knowing that He's called us to deny ourselves and follow Him. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. And if we are, we need to get something right. Spend some time tonight talking to God about that. Am I ashamed of God? Is He ashamed of me? What needs to change so that I can be more like Him? Let's think about those things. Because until I see Jesus here, there'll be nobody else. I mean, we all need help. We all need the Spirit of God. And we all need to be more like Him. And I'm the first one to be in that boat. Because I'm not the one who can say, I've got it all figured out. I can say I do have a quiet time every morning. I can say I've done that. I've finally gotten to that point. But that doesn't make me any better or any worse than anybody else here who might or might not have a quiet time. All that means is God has disciplined me enough to do that. And hopefully he'll do some things by teaching me through those times. And I pray that he can help you guys do similar things. And that he'll walk and teach you how to be closer to him each day. He's not going to wag his finger if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He's going to say, thank you, I've been waiting for you to say that. I've been waiting for you. You're my child. I'm grateful that you're coming to me. I do want you close to me. I do want you to do what I've asked you to do. And he'll say, come in, good and faithful servant. Let's try to offer ourselves up to the Lord this week as we do that. Let's offer this time up and the Lord, and let's prepare.